This is Jay Sekulow on a major development. Democratic Senator Mark Warner from Virginia acknowledges additional barrier protection is needed.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I know we're going to have to add additional border security.
Right.
Neil, we've got about 700 miles of existing fencing. Where folks say we need additional barrier protections, I'm all for it.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
President Trump made a brilliant political move and good for the country to go to the middle. Wall plus DACA plus TPS. I've had more Democratic senators talk to me in the last 2 days than talk to me in the last 30 days. The harder Nancy Pelosi goes left and the more Trump goes to the middle, we're going to get this thing solved.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
So this is very interesting. I call it a break in the wall. And that is the Democratic wall of not wanting this to move forward. So I will tell you what we've got. We now have multiple Democratic, and I say leaders. I mean, these are Steny Hoyer, Senator Claiborne. Senator Claiborne said he agrees that we need a smart wall. Senator Hoyer, Senator Jeffries, Congressman Jeffries, Congressman Hoyer, and Senator Warner say they understand the need for more physical barrier. This is markedly different than conversations just 48 hours ago. So now you're starting to see this, I call it a crack in the wall, that the president did put out, as Lindsey Graham said, DACA. He did put out the TSA, the temporary status ones. And now you're starting to see people starting to say, and the word they're using is physical barrier. Very important.
Yeah, and you've got, again, Steny Hoyer. He's the Democrat leader, so he's the number two to Nancy Pelosi, along with Hakeem Jeffries of New York, who's like the number four as the House Democratic Caucus. And by the way, he's more to the left. And they're both opening the door. But Hoyer specifically said this, quote, it's clear what the president wants. It's clear what we want. If you have a negotiation, both parties are going to put on the table what they want. I think that that's true from the president. He's been very clear. But what is it that the Democrats actually want proactively? We know that they don't want to fund the wall. That's the Nancy Pelosi right. line. But what do they actually want? What is the positive want there that the president hasn't already offered yet? He's already offered the DACA. He's already offered, he's even thrown out there the idea of a pathway to citizenship. So what is it that Democrats want?
Is
it just more chaos?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question for our audience. What is it that you think that those are opposing the president here, the Democrat, although there's starting to be some cracks in that wall, so to speak, what do you think it is they want? Is this just to sow chaos, as Jordan just said, or is this also to, is this just an attempt to keep the government shutdown going because they think it's working better for them? We'll take your calls on this at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Harry, we've got a couple of movements here since even yesterday. You've got, it's clear the president want what he wants. It's clear what we want. If you have a negotiation, both parties are going to put on the table what they want. And he said that, Steny Hoyer said, in exchange for some physical barriers. Physical barriers is what he said.
I think the statements by Democrats raise a number of questions. Is compromise in the air? Are we simply smelling a pipe dream? Or is there indeed a crack in the wall? And so I think the key question on all of this is, when will Nancy Pelosi fold as an increasing number of senior Democrats in both the House and the Senate are suggesting that they could support some version of a physical barrier? And these Democrats include Claiborne, Hoyer, Jeffries, and Mark Warner. So that's the key issue going forward.
All right, folks, we are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. The number two Democrat says it's clear what the president wants. It's clear what we want. Is it clear what Democrats want? It's not clear to me that what they actually want. I mean, DACA is not enough, so putting that and codifying that into law, handling other people's pathway that are here illegally, doesn't seem like that's enough yet. What is it that they want to get the government back open and also fund border barriers where they are necessary? 1-800-684-3110 is the number you call. That's 1-800-684-3110. Or as Harry says, just kind of, again, this blowing smoke, and it's really more about chaos continuing throughout the country. We'll be right back.
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kalab is part of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the medical board in Ohio. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Welcome back to the broadcast. We are going to take a lot of phone calls today at 1-800-684-3110 because this is an issue affecting the American people, the shutdown of the government. What it will take. We're starting to see some cracks in Democrats saying, well, maybe we'd fund some wall. But we got this comment from the number two Democrat in the House of Representatives. And this would be the kind of person who could kind of nudge Nancy Pelosi over. It's, again, this is Steny Hoyer. He is the Democrat leader, the number two in the House. And he told a reporter, quote, it's clear what the president wants. It's clear what we want. I'm not sure it's clear yet what Democrats actually want in return for the border security funding, because all they've said is they don't want that. So in that statement, he's saying we know what the president wants, and we all do. It's the $5.7 billion for border security funding. But then he's saying we all. It's clear what they want. And I'm just saying this not to bash Democrats or anything. I just don't think it is clear what they want. DACA wasn't enough. So codifying that, 3 years on DACA, not enough. What would it take? And I think if they made it clear to the president, there could be an actual negotiation. But you have to make it clear. Yes, there are votes today. Let me go to Than Bennett, then we're going to go to your calls. Than, the votes that are occurring in the U.S. Senate today, tell people about those and what we expect to come from them.
Yeah, it really illustrates your point, Jordan. The first vote that we're going to have, which is going to be at 2:30 Washington, D.C. time, it's essentially on President Trump's plan. It includes $5.7 billion for the wall. It includes funding for other things like other border security, more immigration judges. And then it makes two major concessions to what the president had been led to believe were Democrat priorities. These are priorities that they had actually presented to him over the last months. It's a three-year extension for DACA participants and a three-year extension for TPS recipients, people who are legally present here, but there's a threat in returning to their homeland. So that will be the first vote, Jordan. And we now do know that Joe Manchin from West Virginia is expected to vote for that. That would bring it to 54 votes, but it takes 60 to invoke cloture. Jordan, the second one illustrates the point that you've been making on this broadcast so far. It is the proposal from Chuck Schumer and the Democrats. And Jordan, it doesn't ask for anything. It's a continuing resolution for 2 weeks and a prohibition on wall funding. It actually strips out the Democrat priorities of DACA and TPS. Yes, so they don't ask for anything in it other than 2 weeks of government funding, which, Jordan, I mean, you can tell me where that would leave us. That would leave us right back here in 2 weeks negotiating over the very same thing. So they don't ask for anything. Bottom line, Jordan, both of these are likely to fail this afternoon, but it will be the first time a Democrat has voted for this proposal put forward by Donald Trump. And I do think it opens the door for negotiations. You say the Democrats need to ask for something? What if they ask for longer DACA? What if they ask for more TPS? Ask for something.
Yeah, exactly. And then we would know that the negotiations were at least legitimate. 1-800-684-3110. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We've got a couple extra lines open up now, 1-800-684-3110. Barb on Facebook writes in, does calling our congressman help at this point, or is it too far into the process, Than?
I think it does. I mean, I think especially today in the United States Senate, especially if you are one of these senators who you've been reading the quotes, Jordan, there's more than a dozen of them that have said, we're for some wall, we voted for some wall. Jordan, they should be told the way to back that up is to vote for this amendment offered by Leader McConnell at 2:30. So I think you should call your senator. Certainly your congressman as well, just to be clear, there's no vote today. But for all these members who are saying it, including Steny Hoyer, I think the same ask is of them. If you're serious about this, tell us what you want so we can actually have a negotiation. Jordan, to that point, the House is recessing. The House is going home. That shows you where Nancy Pelosi is on this.
Okay, let's go right to the phones. We got people already. I want to get the call started. Shannon in Florida on line three. Shannon, welcome to JSecio Live.
Well, thank you. Love your show.
Thank you. You're on the air.
I believe that I don't think they really want the wall, the Democrats, but I think the problem is if Trump gets the wall, it's going to make him look good, and then that's the possibility of getting him reelected again, and that's not what they want.
Well, this is the big issue, Shannon, hanging over all of this. And I think that if we were talking about a piece of legislation, Harry, that would be one argument. But right now we're talking about how do you reopen the government. So it's tougher for them just to kind of filibuster on the wall issue. Yes, by taking back the House, if they were just talking about legislation, it'd be easier for the Democrats. Nancy Pelosi just wouldn't bring it up. But right now, that's the barrier to actually opening the government. It was the issue that they knew they were going to face if they allowed the shutdown to continue into the new Congress, which they did when they took power, and that means they have to deal with it, and they're not going to have any legislation moving through at all, and they can't really prevent the discussion like they could if this was just a piece of legislation. This is legislation to open and fund the government.
Absolutely, you're absolutely correct. And so the question that we have to confront, given the evidence that at least some Democrats are prepared to fund the wall, is where are the Democratic leaders? And I think the Democratic leaders, Schumer and Pelosi, have dug in. They are prepared to allow some Democrats, even senior Democrats, to present perhaps a patina or a facade favoring negotiations. But up to this particular moment in time, as Than correctly points out, Leader Schumer and Leader Pelosi have not offered concrete proposals which suggest that the Democrats are prepared to meet the president halfway. So the president has offered a number of specific, concrete, bipartisan proposals on DACA, on TPS. And where are the Democrats, particularly the Democratic leaders? They are nowhere to be found. Their purpose in all of this, in my opinion, is to stonewall both the president and the American people. Why? Because they are seeking a complete and total victory over this president, even if it harms individuals they claim to care about, including additional caravan members who are massing in Central America presently. And the Democrats have consistently said that they support DACA, that they support the TPS recipients. But where are they when it comes to proposing concrete legislation? They are nowhere to be found.
Yeah, take a listen. This is, again, Steny Hoyer on MSNBC. Listen to Byte 28.
My view is that a wall or a fence or a barrier, whatever you call it, is a device to accomplish an objective. And it depends upon what objective you're trying to accomplish.
So, again, very clear there. And then he goes on, Byte 29.
The president has made it very clear that he's going to put on the table barriers, an iron fence, a wall, whatever you want to call it. He's going to put that on the table. So it's going to be part of the negotiations. We're going to put on some investment in other areas. But clearly, that's going to be part of the discussion. And we're going to sit down at the table and we'll have that discussion.
I mean, so far, that discussion has not been able to occur yet.
It has not. But you're seeing Steny Hoyer, the number two in the House. You're seeing Mark Warner in the Senate. Both saying physical barrier would be on the table. So I think, you know, Than, I think this is the pre-negotiating moves right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. Let me just read you a couple more. Senator Joe Manchin a few weeks ago said that I voted to fund President Trump's wall. Check the vote. Angus King said, everybody's for border security. There are places where a wall makes sense. Chris Coon said, I personally don't think that a border wall is in and of itself immoral. And Jay, there are a lot more of them. But when the rubber meets the road this afternoon, there's really only one proposal that includes priorities of both Republicans and Democrats. It's the one being offered by Leader McConnell. The one being put forward by Senator Schumer doesn't include any of those things. And just quickly, in that soundbite you played from Steny Hoyer, Jay, he talked about how they want to put other areas of investment on the table. Well, the president's proposal does that too. Investment judges, technology, drones, humanitarian assistance, it's all in there. If they want more in one of those categories, Jay, now would be the time to say it. Otherwise, it's not going to be on the table for negotiations.
Well, I think this is the point. But the fact that they're moving it this way to me, Jordan, tells me that language intent is very important here. They're also physical barrier. They don't want to say wall, as if that's some semantic difference. But what's becoming clear is they're having leadership and committee members and committee chairmen coming out and saying this, which tells me that some of this negotiation is going to get to a real negotiation.
Yeah, but that's what point we're at right now, is actually getting to, even though the Senate will be voting today, is actually getting to those negotiations. Because so far, they have not been able to start. Basically, those meetings have started and ended immediately. And when will Nancy Pelosi allow the Steny Hoyer view to kind of take charge and get to the negotiating table? I don't know if it's Nancy Pelosi saying green lighting this, or if it's her own lieutenants trying to push her into ultimately getting out of this tit for tat with the president, which she's going to lose because he's the president. Yep. She's the Speaker of the House. He's got more power as the commander in chief, and actually get to the negotiating table. So I think there may be pressure from, it's her lieutenants, it's Nancy Pelosi's top lieutenants that she appointed, maybe kind of putting pressure on her externally to actually negotiate with the president.
I think that's right.
And stop doing that Chuck and Nancy game where they go into the White House, fight for 5 minutes, and leave and go talk to the
press. Those days are coming to an end. I think there's going to be serious negotiations. At least I think the whole country hopes there will be. We need to get this functioning. We need to get this back into play, and I think that's part of what's happening. All right, we come back. We'll take more of your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We encourage you to give us a call with your questions, comments coming in on Facebook and Periscope. We'll get to some of those during the break coming up right up. Again, if you're just joining us, give us a call, 800-684-3110.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kolob is part of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the medical board in Ohio. Kolob and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org.
So here's what we got. Steny Hoyer was asked whether Democrats might consider permanent protections for the young undocumented immigrants known as Dreamers in exchange for, quote, some new physical barrier. He said it was clear that Mr. Trump would put money for a wall on the negotiating table. He said it's clear what the president wants. It's clear what we want. If you have a negotiation, both parties are going to put on the table what they want. He then stated that Congressman Jeffries said he basically said the same thing. He likes new scanning technology. He likes these other, but then he talks about improvements in infrastructure. I mean, here's what I get the sense, Than, is that these little bit of cracks, and we're having to read them really closely to kind of navigate this, but tells you there's something moving. Now, they got to get to the table and talk.
Yeah, and I think those negotiations will happen in earnest after today when some Democrats vote for the president's proposal. And Jay, ironically, I mean, I think those cracks that you're talking about illustrate the fact that this is actually not so much about the wall. Now, I know that is what gets all of the attention, but you see all these Democrats saying we're actually for a wall. And it's more about denying the president a political victory on an issue that Democrats thought they owned. I mean, how ironic is this? The president is willing to talk about a DACA extension. He's willing to talk about a TPS extension. And it's Democrats that are pulling that out, Jay. I think it's more about that than the wall at this point.
I think that's exactly right. All right, let's go right back to the phones, 800-684-3110.
Yep, we'll go to Gene in California online, too. Gene, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Gene.
Hi, hello.
Yes.
Hey, you guys are saying exactly what my thoughts are, is that I feel that what's going on is the Democrats are just trying, all they want is a win. They want to show that they are opposing the president. And they had the campaign to obviously take over their party, the seats in the houses and things, to be able to accomplish this. So they're trying to make sure that the votes that they receive to get into office, they have to oppose Trump. And if they can't, then it's a loss. So I really believe that the only thing that's going on here is they want to come out of this as looking like they've won. And if they can't come out of it looking like they've won, then they've failed to their voters.
Well, so, I mean, I think there's some of that going on. Look, I mean, I think that's clear. Now, politically, Than, we don't have any official movement. We're just starting to get these sound bites from these various members, Senate and House.
Yeah, but I do think it's relevant politically, Jay, especially where they're coming from. I mean, Nancy Pelosi might be able to get away in her district in California from not negotiating. That might even be popular in her district. But statewide, in a lot of places where this crime from the unprotected border has really had an impact, Jay, that is not going to play well in a reelection. So I think the political impact is a factor when it comes to some of these cracks forming fissures. But, Jay, that's really the way it's supposed to be in our government. I mean, the pressure from voters, that should move elected representatives. And I think that's why we're starting to see the move.
Let's go ahead. I want to play Congressman Clyburn's statement because you got to read this one. You got to really listen to carefully about a, quote, smart wall.
If his $5.7 billion is about border security, then we see ourselves fulfilling that request, only doing it what I like to call using a smart wall.
So, Harry, what does that mean?
Excellent question, to which there are absolutely several answers. One answer is Mr. Clyburn is blowing smoke. Another answer, of course, is that Mr. Clyburn actually wants to negotiate directly, clearly, and unmistakably with the president on some form of border security enhancement. But we have yet to see a concrete proposal, at least in terms of a bill that's offered on the floor of the House or the Senate from Democratic leaders. So, yes, I think it's helpful that Clyburn and Hoyer and Mark Warner, they've acknowledged the need for enhanced border security. But show me the type. Show me the record. Show me the bill that they indeed support. Are they prepared to go into the White House with concrete, specific suggestions, or are they simply blowing smoke to the American people? That, I think, is the quintessential question.
Let's go right back to the phones. Again, we've got some lines open because we keep taking calls. 1-800-684-3110. What do you think Democrats actually want? As Steny Hoyer said, we know what the president wants and we know what we want. Maybe they know internally, but they haven't expressed it to the American people, certainly. As Stan said, all that Chuck Schumer put out, their bill is just a two-week funding bill. There's no want in it. There's nothing like they
this.
Don't
we'll
get
do it for
anything.
2 weeks and see if we can get this negotiated.
Yeah, I mean, so it's not a like a it's not like a full piece of legislation, a full funding of the government.
I think you know what you're saying there, Jordan, is actually very important. It's not clear. It's kind of the premise of the broadcast today is it's not clear what they want. What is the end game in all of this? Where does this go? In
yeah.
other words,
yeah, exactly.
And that's just not clear.
Jerry in Rhode Island's calling in on line four. Jerry, welcome to JCKO Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Jerry.
Hello, team. If you were standing on a podium looking out upon the Democrats, you don't have one group. They're all little groups. But there's one power group. They don't want to make her mad. So some of them are all starting to see and do just as all of you have been saying. And they're tiptoeing because they don't want to make her mad. But they see what needs to be done, but they don't want to make her mad.
So here's what she, Nancy Pelosi, said. In February of 2018, about structures in place and the need for security.
Let's talk about where a more serious structure might be necessary, where fencing will do, where mowing the grass so that people can't be smuggled through the grass. And that's something about levees, technology, personnel.
Where fencing will do. So you understand, I'm playing all these so you understand that this is nothing but politics. We've already talked about many times in this broadcast the number's small. But then I go back to what kind of Jordan and Harry were saying. That is, where is the logjam release here? I mean, now it's going to be the second pay period federal employees are missing their checks.
Well, first of all, I tell you, that wasn't that long ago. That was February of 2018. Nancy Pelosi said that. Where's the breakthrough, Jay? I think it happens when the Senate comes to an agreement and sends it over to the House, because Nancy Pelosi actually doesn't have to support it. There just have to be a majority in the House who ask her to put it on the floor for it to happen. Jay, but I think it really boils down to this. The policies that the Democrats want ultimately are ones they're not willing to share credit for, because the president put the policies that the Democrats said they wanted into his proposal. What did they do, Jay? They stripped those policies out of the amendment they're putting on the floor. That makes no sense.
Well, so let me ask you this, Harry, from a policy perspective. Put on your Professor Hutchison hat here. If the president were to take the political move of putting everything on the table, immigration reform, comprehensive immigration, we talked about it yesterday, do you think that would move?
I think it would move at least with respect to some Democrats, but I'm not sure it would move Nancy Pelosi. So I think Than is correct.
Comprehensive immigration reform to not let the president get $25 billion for a wall.
I think Nancy Pelosi is that committed to opposing this particular president. In other words, she is prepared not to accept yes for an answer on priorities that she has clearly stated in the past. And it's also important to note that many Democrats voted for the Secure Fence Act of 2006. So Democrats know full well that enhanced border security is indeed necessary, but many Democratic leaders are prepared to oppose that. Why? Because that would hand a victory to President Trump.
I agree. I mean, I think that's why the Democrats have no proposal right now. The only proposal they have is extend the government funding for 2 weeks. 2 weeks, and then we'll be right back at this again.
So they want it to reshut down. That's
constant
the part.
Shutdowns until 2020.
Creates insecurity for the federal workforce. All right, we're taking your calls when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, just go over to ACLJ.org. We're streaming it there. The television broadcast also available there at Facebook and Periscope, another other streaming platforms as well. So we encourage you to go there. And don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org or respond to our emails. Got a brand new move at the United Nations. I'll talk about it in the next half hour.
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I know we're going to have to add additional border security.
Right.
Neil, we've got about 700 miles of existing fencing. Where folks say we need additional barrier protections, I'm all for it.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
So that was Senator Mark Warner. And the words he used were barriers, fencing. I played for you in the last half hour, Nancy Pelosi just a year ago saying fencing would be appropriate in some areas. But Mark Warner's comments recent. Steny Hoyer, the number two in the Democratic House, the number two in the House of Representatives, also is saying border, what they call protection, border barriers would be appropriate. This is the word they're starting to use. So they don't want to say no wall because they, the president's not supposed to say the word wall. They don't want to really say fencing because they don't like the imagery. So barrier protection, Harry, is the word of choice now. But it does show a break in their wall of logjam. Not a, believe me, the water's not running through that break yet, but it's starting to show some chinks
certainly
in the armor.
There are
at least
some cracks,
yeah,
and certainly those cracks are welcome. But I think the American people need to remain vigilant and to continue to place pressure on Democrats, particularly Democratic leaders, so that there is a full crack in the Democratic resistance to a bipartisan, comprehensive approach to immigration reform that includes necessary border security, including a wall.
Yeah, that's, you know, I'm trying to read the subtleties of this.
Mm-hmm.
Barrier, well, physical barrier is now okay. What are they starting to? I mean, I got a sense of where this is.
And smart fencing, does that mean not actual fencing? And,
yeah.
You know, so how much of this is realistic? What would they actually put on the table for the president? And this is actually not what they want. This is still trying, they're trying to define what the president wants, but what we're still trying to ask is, what do you want in return for that? Whatever that is that you're describing, and however you need to describe that, what is it that you want in return, Democrats? And Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer so far have not articulated that. They have only put forward a two-week funding for the government to keep a status quo and then to renegotiate. And does anyone out there believe, I mean, this could be the next set of callers, that let's say we pass this continuing resolution, which won't pass, but let's say you did, that in 2 weeks this is going to be figured out again?
No.
So what will we have?
Another shutdown. Which I think atmospherically, that's why Chuck Schumer's putting that out there. Then I think he would like to create this image of the federal workforce here. I could see the imagery already. Federal workforce, 800,000 people coming back to work. And then what? On day 14, sorry, didn't work out. The president's being obstinate in their view. We say they're being obstinate. They say we're being obstinate. Everybody's being obstinate. Now they're talking barriers, not fences, but maybe a physical barrier may be okay. They want that atmospheric of people coming to work and then being uncertain again. They think this is helping them.
It's absolutely the goal. And they've always counted on Republicans in Congress caving at the end, not having tough negotiations. Jay, it's what they want. And, you know, you do have to parse some of the words of these statements. James Clyburn said that he wants no physical barrier. He wants a smart wall. That means no physical barrier. But even in that statement, Jay, he said that he's OK with $5.7 billion. You know where he was just a few weeks ago? He was at $1.3 billion. So he's moved almost $4.5 billion. And that tells you inside the Democratic caucus, when it comes to policy and when it comes to substance, they actually want to vote for something like this that the president has proposed. They just don't want the president to be the one that gets it over the line.
Isn't this? I think he's probably the only president that could get it over the line. Actually, I think this president could get down immigration reform, could get a lot of it done. But, you know, the obstinance, though, Harry, I'm only got less than a minute here. It's pretty clear what the political endgame is. They don't have a political endgame.
I think that is correct, other than
they don't give the president a win.
Opposition to the president. And I think Nancy Pelosi is committed to that goal. That is her one goal as House Speaker.
All right. We are taking your call. And I will tell you this. To say that you know what the end game of this is going to be, I don't think we know. This could be, could it be longer, Jordan? This could be going on for weeks and weeks.
Yes, it could definitely go for a couple more weeks. So it's, we're just talking about now that there may actually begin a negotiation. We know that these Senate bills are not going anywhere. They're getting people on the record kind of for a feel for where they are. That's about it. So, yeah, I mean, I could easily see this going on at least two more weeks.
All right, we'll take your calls. Yeah, good. We'll take your calls when we get back. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Got a video coming up, a special video done for our Facebook and Periscope audience. You want to stay tuned to that. And again, I encourage you to share it with your friends. Support the work of the ACLJ. You do that at aclj.org.
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kalab is part of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the medical board in Ohio. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
An interesting comment came in from Linda on Facebook. Jay, do you believe if this were anyone else as president, the Democrats would have already made a deal? I think they would have tried to.
Maybe not. I'd say this. If there was any Republican...
No, if they want... Let me rephrase that. If it was including immigration reform, which is on the table here, yeah, they want to deny that to any Republican.
Yes, they would.
They tried. They denied it to George W. Bush. So will they try to deny it? If the president, I said this multiple times, if the president put on the table DACA, which he has, TSA, the temporary folks there on the temporary asylum basis, and came up with a process for the 12 to 18, whatever the number is, million people that are here illegally, so they come out of the shadows, that they've got to start paying taxes, and then maybe they get permanent work permits or a pathway to citizenship, whatever it might be, I still think they would say no. I think they would say no. I think it'd be a great thing to get done, but I think they would say no.
Yes, to any Republican, yes. To any Democrat, they'd be, you know, if they could get that through. But so far,
eight years of President Obama would not move it forward.
No, and the 2 years they had of like the House and the Senate and the White House, they decided to do health care, and that was that. And the American people... not only change the House, but the Senate as well.
So we're going to go back to calls, but let me go to Than quickly here. How does this end?
Well, I would tell you they are saying no to that currently, Jay. I mean, they're stripping those provisions actively out of the proposal from the president, and Nancy Pelosi could put that bill on the floor right now. How does it end? Ultimately, Jay, I think it ends when seven Democrats in the United States Senate say, look, our leadership might not want to provide a solution, but we want to provide a solution. We're going to negotiate a deal. And I think the fact that Joe Manchin's going to vote for this today means that the president's proposal got pretty close to that mark, Jay. Eventually, I think you find seven Senate Democrats to lead the way to a compromise.
You think so, Harry? We'll take a call in a minute.
I think so. I think Than's approach or analysis is correct. I don't see legislation moving forward initially in the House because of Nancy Pelosi's opposition.
All right, so we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. This is some interesting political moment we're in. All right.
Let's go to D calling from Washington, D.C., online one. D, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, D.
How you doing?
Good.
You know, I'm really just so fed up with this situation, and the reason why I'm fed up with it because we always saying we're for the American people, but we want to be so right concerning Trump. I'm a Democratic, but one thing I can say about him, he have laid things on the table to bring things forward. But they're so blinded by wanting to be right and a hatred for him that they would rather make the American people suffer with their children and families just to be right. And you know, and I got to go into the Bible part. When the prodigal son left his father, he went into another country. But the only way he was able to get fed and had things, he had to become a legal citizen of that country before he could get any rights or anything over there. I feel like this. Because to me, it looked like wordplay. We talk about
it. You're right. Go ahead and finish. But yes, it's wordplay. Barrier, smart wall, don't call it a fence. Yes, it's a lot of wordplay. Finish up.
What's the difference between a wall, a fence? It doesn't make a difference what it is. But it's enough people over here, and there's enough people over here not paying taxes, and there's enough of them coming over here in the construction field and everywhere else, and they're not legal. And
that's why I say if you put the whole comprehensive immigration reform on the table so that the people that are here illegally actually do have to pay taxes, I don't think they will go to the table. I mean, I would do it because I think it's the right policy. But I'm not sure the Democrats will go to the table on it. They probably don't.
No. Thank you. Go ahead.
I just look at what's happening today. They're pulling those priorities out of the bill on the Senate floor. I mean, I've said it several times, but they are actively working against the things that they said they wanted. And, Jay, just to echo what the caller said at the beginning of that call, can you imagine about a year ago saying that every Republican in the United States Senate was going to vote for an extension to DACA and TPS? That's a pretty big win on the part of the president, getting Republicans to come to the table for a compromise like this. Now it's time for Democrats to step up and engage those negotiations.
We'll see. Let's go ahead and get another call.
Yeah, let's go right back to the phones, and we'll go to Craig in California online too. Craig, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Craig.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Two quick things, gentlemen. I'd love to hear your commentary on this. We know that the Democrats are trying to get this short-term political win by not letting the president have his wall. But the biggest thing that I see living in California, seeing the state flip from a red state to a solid blue state in less than 50 years, we've got a solid voting majority for the progressive left here. Gavin Newsom's agenda is going to go unhindered through this state. I believe the long-term agenda for Democrats is to change the demographics of the United States of America so they can get a permanent voting majority for their progressive policies. And the thing I want to add to this, too, is when you look at a physical wall, that's going to work no matter what, and that's been proven. If you have a technological wall or a smart wall, something like that, that actually could be maybe turned off at certain points in time, and they could, people could be let into the country at will. So I think there's
I think the technology is important. I mean, the Israelis use both physical barriers and technology. This is not rocket science.
How many more people have to be let in illegally to them ultimately getting to a point where they're going to legalize them? See, I think that's also it makes sense, right, that you'd want this new voting bloc and you want to give them citizenship, but that would have been priority one for Barack Obama. It wasn't. So I think it's this idea of open borders more so, and then getting potentially, but this new voting group, if that's what they want, put that on the table. But you think they're actually going to move on that? I mean, that's the key, is that it could be on the table right now, a pathway to citizenship for people if they believe they're going to get this new voting bloc. And yet we haven't heard a single mention of that from Nancy Pelosi, that would be enough. So how many more illegal immigrants have to enter before they feel like enough future voters, a decade from now after they've gone on?
Well, that's why they don't want it under Republican, because they're afraid they'll vote Republican. I mean, this is exactly their calculation.
But it doesn't happen under them either, is what I was pointing out.
No, that's exactly right. It not only does it not happen, it has never been a priority. But what is their top priority is don't say the word wall. Now, barrier may be okay now. Barrier is fine. Smart wall's fine. protection, border enhancement, but don't say the word wall. I don't even like fence, but barrier, you know, wall barrier. That's the new word, physical barrier, Harry.
I think that's correct, but I also think the Democrats see this as a wedge issue going forward.
Is it, though?
Well, I don't know, but if you think about the Obama administration didn't tackle this. He promised that he would tackle this issue, but it was not a priority. So the Democrats continue to use this as a wedge issue. Now, I agree with Jordan that many Democrats simply favor open borders for an infinite period of time.
Yep, let's go right back to the phones. Mike is calling from California on line 6. Mike, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hi. Call screener says opposed. We like some opposition. That's always good. Welcome to the broadcast. Mike, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to make the comment. I live within 10 miles of the border of Mexico, and I'm also a federal employee, so I'm coming up on missing my second paycheck.
By the way, I want to say something about that because you know what I've been saying about this. I think this is – you all are pawns in a political – in a political football right now, and I don't like it. I was a federal employee. I know what it's like. I mean, I don't like it, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, fortunately, we have a savings to fall back on, so it's not like we're having to pinch pennies, so thankfully for that. But my comment is, you know, I don't feel like the government shut down. You should shut down the government just to get one thing your way. When the shutdown first started off, I decided to go for a little cruise along the border. And where I live, closest to the border, there is a wall. And I ran to a Border Patrol agent, and I, you know, told him I was just cruising around, checking out the area. And I asked him if there was any activity. He said no at that time, but he said that morning there happened to be a heavy fog, that there was a bunch of people coming across. And I just found that interesting because there is a wall. And so my opinion is that I don't think a wall will do too much. You know, an immigrant
it's not just a wall. I mean, it's, you know, I like with all the phrases that are being used. Barrier protection, wall, whatever you want to call it. Smart wall, reinforcing existing.
So, like, if that structure's not working totally properly. Though, you did say, Mike, that most of the guys said it's pretty much – it's calm there.
It's just when there's a fog that comes in. So the Israelis, what they do on their border walls, and you've seen these, Jordan, we've all seen them, they have tracking devices inside also that's basically following footprints and everything else. So you can use multiple enhancement techniques, but you've got to have a border security.
I just think it's a little hypocritical, Mike. You live on the part of the border that has the wall, and you're telling other people that live on the border that doesn't, oh, you don't need it. But you've got it, Mike, in your backyard, and it's working pretty good. Is what the agent said, there's occasional times when weather causes it to where the wall is not as effective, but most of the time it's calm. You're cruising along the border because you got a wall protecting you from what's across the other side. Pretty easy to make a comment that other people don't need the wall.
And the president also is, you know, he said more than a wall. He wants judges, he wants border agents, he wants technology, and he wants the backlog of asylum taken care of, and then, of course, a barrier like a lot of countries have. All right, we come back from the break. We're going to take your calls. Phone lines are jammed, but I guarantee you some will open up at 800-664-3110.
This happened so many times. Jim Acosta did this. Look how calm it is by the wall. We don't need wall. And then the caller that just called in.
Yeah.
Is he going to say he lives near a part that doesn't have a wall and it's fine? No, of course not. He lives near a part of the border that has a wall and it's calm.
Yes, except when it's foggy.
So it needs reinforcements.
Because they can get over the wall. Well, then you need enhancements. That's
where
that
the tech
tells
would
you.
Come in.
Yeah.
We'll take you again. Final segment coming up. Take your calls, 1-800-684-3110.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kalab is part of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the medical board in Ohio. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're going right to the phones. That's what we do in our final segment of the broadcast. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us. Here we go. In the order people have been holding on, so we'll go to Jim in Texas first online. For Jim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Jim.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
I think that the biggest problem with this administration is they're not getting the messaging out that the Democrats have already voted for the wall. There's 84 miles of wall going up right now that they've already approved, and they're just not making a strong enough statement to that Schumer's already voted for it, and a lot of them have already consented to the wall. Then they call it immoral. The second point I have, and I'll let you go, is the cost of processing all of these immigrants coming across. Somebody needs to put a pen to it and say, okay, we would be saving $6 billion by having a wall instead of all of the other costs that are going in.
Harry, have you looked at the I know you've looked at a lot of the economic impact of all this. Has there been any kind of, have you seen any economic analysis of if we didn't have all the deportation issues, if we didn't have all of the just the kind of the flux of what's going on at the wall right now. We've got to have all these border security and military down there. What is the? I wonder what the cost saving is. I don't know if anybody's
run
the numbers.
Well, I haven't seen a detailed report, but I think it's clear conceptually that the caller is correct, that there would be huge benefits with enhanced border security so long as you couple it with E-Verify and other smart approaches to migration, visa overstays, and the like. We have a significant problem with individuals who are illegal, who are working, but they are not yet paying taxes. And so if we came up with a comprehensive approach, including a wall, including a focus on national security, but a comprehensive approach to immigration, it would be favorable for the entire economy going forward. And in essence, the wall and comprehensive immigration funding would pay for itself many times over.
I think that's where the point is. All right, let's go ahead.
Back to the phones we go. If you want to grab us in the last few minutes of the show, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to get on the air, Paul in California on line three. Paul, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Paul.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Sure.
I had a question. With all the stubbornness on both sides of the party, that's obvious, and the political strategies that seems like Donald Trump has been offering more, and the Democrats have not offering anything. What if President Trump stepped up, shut down, or opened up, reopened up the temporary government shutdown, showed compassion to the federal employees, also patriotism to America, and then was able to use this strategy for the to address the union, the state union address, and then bring that up?
I mean, I know what you're saying, but I think politically that doesn't probably work.
The legislation doesn't exist right now for that.
Right.
So all the legislation exists for right now, Paul, is a 2-week opening of the government. So just putting us back into this cycle. So that's not what you're keying in on. And second, you'd be giving up the any negotiating power for border security, because then Nancy Pelosi can block it. If you did get that legislation to actually reopen the government, not just a 2-week continuing resolution, you'd be giving up any kind of way to get a Democrat House to move forward legislatively on something like that. So And those are the two issues. One, it doesn't exist. That legislation does not exist right now, so the president can't do that on his own. And two, giving up a lot of negotiating space that the Democrats inherited because they would not solve this before they took power.
I think that's exactly correct. All right, let's go ahead and grab another
Bob call. In Arkansas on line two. Bob, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Bob.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
I have a very brief question.
Okay.
I understand what the politicians, both the right and the left, for Republicans and Democrats, how they feel. My question is, has anyone or any information been shared about how the constituency feels? You know,
Are you talking about how the folks in the communities feel? Look, I mean, you get elected representatives. I mean, we don't know what the polling data coming in is. They're obviously polling and saying it's working for them. The Republicans are doing polls to say working for them, but it's not working for the 800,000 federal employees, and we're not getting anything done. Fan?
Yeah, obviously it depends where you poll, how you ask the questions, all the rest. But, the polls that I've seen that have been questioned fairly in our nationwide, Jay, a physical barrier polls very well. So does border security using technology. So does reopening the federal government. And just to be very clear with a couple of our callers, the Democrat proposal is to open the government for 15 days from now, 15 days, 2 weeks from tomorrow. The president's proposal opens the government for the rest of the fiscal year. That's the juxtaposition here. The rest of the fiscal year as opposed to 15 days.
All right. Well, you know what? I think this is anybody's guess at this point. That's my kind of view of it. I mean, do you see any? I mean, Harry, I don't think there's like you can wave a wand here and this works out. There's going to have to be negotiations. Are going to have to take place.
I think there will have to be negotiations. But if we focus, for instance, on the polls reflect short-term feelings by the electorate. I think in the long term, the president and the Republicans will be well served by sticking to their guns and supporting principle.
Let me play Senator Graham's comments from last night. Go ahead. Here it is.
Nancy Pelosi's become a nightmare for the Democratic Party. She seems unreasonable. She seems to have a dislike for the president that is hurting the country. And this idea of not letting the president speak is really overplaying your hand. So I want to let your listeners know that there's a reaction to this far-left rhetoric in the Senate by more mainstream Democrats that I think will eventually allow us to get the wall funded and do some things for the DACA recipients and TPS recipients. There's a deal in the making, and the more extreme Nancy Pelosi gets, the more likely we'll have a deal.
So there you go. Interesting comment from Senator Graham.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, she, though, is the leader. She gets to decide what legislation moves forward unless they remove her as leader, which they're not going to do. So, again, it's all up to her ultimately, and I think she's starting to get pressure from her lieutenants. Elena is calling from Oklahoma on line four. Elena, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Elena. You're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you for all you do and for taking my call.
Yep.
My question and comment is the Democrats say that they are for the American people, especially Nancy Pelosi. So my question is, why is not having the wall bad or harmful for the American people?
Because they've drawn a line in the sand that they are not going to give the president a win. And they think it'll be harmful to the American people if the president gets a win. And what would that win be? Border-enhanced security, barriers, fences, walls, whatever you call it, comprehensive immigration reform. They don't want that to happen. That is, to me, what the bottom line here is, Stan. I believe the president could put the entire comprehensive immigration reform proposal on the table, and they'll say, if there's a wall as part of that, we're not doing it. That's what I think they would do.
So,
I'd like to find out.
They're willing to take it so far to harm their own priorities, Jay. But look, Democrat senators in West Virginia, Alabama, Pennsylvania, Nevada, Montana, Minnesota, they're not so sure they agree, Jay. I think that's the path out of this.
All right. Well, we'll see what the path is, because that path will be unfolding in the days ahead. But it looks like pay period number two missed by federal employees.
Yeah, that's right. Folks, as always, go to ACLJ.org. There's a lot of great information there, new blogs, new news items up there as well that we can't get to on the broadcast each day in the 1 hour that we've got with you. So go to ACLJ.org. I encourage you to stay up to date as well. We're following all the breaking news, social media. And if you want to share this broadcast with your friends and family, it's available on Facebook and Periscope. So if you're listening on radio right now, you want to see inside the studio and share this broadcast, you can do that throughout the day. It's there right now, and you can click that share button. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us tomorrow. Go to aclj.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, ACLJ.